Today is, of course, Easter, as we refer to it, one of the most celebrated days in all of the world, and has historically been probably the most celebrated day, even more so than Christmas. Easter has historically been the highest attended worship service day of the year. This year, unfortunately, many are not able to meet in person, but are meeting via technology, and perhaps more people will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus this year than at any other time because of what's going on in our nation. Even though they can't be at a service in person, they're going to join in via technology and going to worship the Lord. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to you at the near the conclusion of the whole Easter story, found in John chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 11 through 18 today, the New Living Translation. It says, "This Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stopped and stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. 'Dear woman, why are you crying?' the angels asked her. 'Because they have taken away my Lord,' she replied, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. 'Dear woman, why are you crying?' Jesus asked her. 'Who are you looking for?' She thought he was the gardener. 'Sir,' she said, 'if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him.' 'Mary,' Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, 'Rabboni,' which is Hebrew for teacher. 'Don't cling to me,' Jesus said, 'for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, 'I have seen the Lord.' Then she gave them his message." And today, for just a little bit, I'm going to preach from this question: who are you looking for? Perhaps today more people will speak the name of Jesus than on any other day in history. As our population has grown and as a result of this pandemic, people are tuning in and people are watching live streams of churches all across the nation and all across the world. And people are looking for hope. They are looking for help in this difficult time. But the question I would have is, how many really know him? That people call his name, they know his name, they know a little bit about him, but how many people really know who he is? That is the point and the question that I want to speak to today. The Bible tells us, and I'm going to walk through the story in the middle of the Gospel of John. We have this Passion Week played out in a number of different Gospels, and it tells various pieces depending on which Gospel that you're reading. But in John's Gospel, Jesus has finished the Passover meal, and he has gone into Gethsemane. He has gone to pray. He has gone into the olive grove, and he is there praying, and he knows that his hour is at hand. He knows that the time of his crucifixion is quickly going to come. Judas has gone on his way to betray Jesus. From other Gospels, we know that Peter, James, and John, they went with him a little bit apart. The remaining disciples, they are in one place, but Peter, James, and John, they came a little bit further into the garden or into the place where Jesus was praying, and they were supposed to stay awake and they were supposed to pray with him, but unfortunately they fell asleep. They couldn't stay awake, it's late at night, and so they fell asleep. They didn't feel the passion that Jesus had. They didn't know what was coming. They were still fairly ignorant of the fact that Jesus was getting ready to die. The priests and the Pharisees had sent Roman soldiers and temple guards with Judas, the text tells us. And Judas comes, and from another text we see that Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss. And Peter, the one who's always passionate and reaching out, and he's always hyper, maybe would be a good word. He is always at the forefront. He tries to defend Jesus, and he cuts off the ear of one of the high priest's servants. And Jesus stops him and says, "Don't do that." And Jesus is arrested, and he is taken to the house of Annas, the father-in-law of the current high priest Caiaphas. Jesus is questioned by Annas, and then he's taken to Caiaphas' house, and he's questioned by Caiaphas. And in that time of questioning, Peter denies that he knows Jesus. And just as Jesus prophesied that he would, he denies him three times and tells him that tells those people that are there that he does not know who Jesus is. Jesus is then sent before Pilate, and he's questioned by Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked. "And are you a king?" he asked. And Jesus' response is said, "Well, you have rightly said, and did you come up with that on your own, or did somebody else tell you who I was?" And Pilate can't find any fault with Jesus, so he tries to release him. He wants to let Jesus go, and the high priest and the other Jewish leaders, they're unwilling to let Jesus go. They're wanting to see him put to death, and so Pilate finally comes up with an idea, and he says, "Well, maybe what I can do is I can offer to release Jesus or Barabbas." Barabbas, whose name means son of a father. We don't even know his name. It just means son of a father. He had a dad at some point. He was a son at some point. That's all we know. That's what his name means. And he was a murderer. And Pilate is sure that the people will choose to let Jesus go free instead of Barabbas. But the people choose Barabbas. And so Pilate's still unwilling to put Jesus to death because he can find no fault in him. He sees him as an innocent man. He decides that he will have him scourged, and that means that he is beaten. Jesus is beaten with stripes on his back, and his flesh is torn, and all of the things that you've seen depicted in movies. And the reality of what happened has probably never been fully depicted in any movie or anything that you can imagine at the intensity and the magnitude of the beating that he takes. And they take a crown of thorns and they put it on his head and they press it down into his scalp. A purple robe is put upon Jesus, and Pilate does all of this because this is the king of the Jews, and so he gives him this crown and he gives them this robe of purple, even though he's beaten and bloody, and he gives him this royal purple. And once again, he brings him before the people, and once again, they decide that they want Jesus to be put to death. They don't want Barabbas. They call for his crucifixion, so Pilate tells Jesus, he's trying to get Jesus to confess some things and to admit some things so he can leave and let him go. And Jesus says to Pilate, "You don't have any power, any authority but that which I give you. You can't really even do what you're doing now unless that authority has been given to you." Jesus once again declaring that he is doing this of his own will. And so he is delivered to be crucified. He carries his own cross to the hill of Golgotha. And on the way, he's not able to fully carry it, so he has help. And we see that in another one of the Gospels. And Pilate puts over, at the top of the cross, over the head of Jesus, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And the Pharisees and the high priest, they don't want it to say that. They want it to just say, "He said he was the King of the Jews." They don't want to put that title up there because they don't really believe that he is the King of the Jews. But Pilate says, "What I have written, and it is kept upon the cross." At the foot of the cross, the soldiers, they gamble for his garments. He had a great robe, and they decided they wanted his robe, and they cast lots for his garments, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy. And in the middle of all of this, Jesus looks down from the cross, and he sees Mary and John, and he says to Mary, he says, "Woman, behold your son." And to John, he says, "Behold your mother." And then the Bible tells us that he grows thirsty as he's hanging there on the cross. They bring him a sponge of sour wine. They place it on the end of a hyssop branch and they hold it up. And shortly after taking that little bit, and he says, "It is finished." That the work that he has come to do is finished. The work that he was sent here for, it is accomplished. And he gives up the ghost, the Bible tells us. He gives up his spirit, the Bible says, and he dies. And once again, another prophecy is fulfilled when they're going to break the legs of the three people that are hanging on the cross, Jesus and the two thieves on each side of him, the thief on each side of him. And when they come to Jesus, They find that he's already dead. There's no need to break his leg and hasten his death because he has already perished. And the Bible tells us that fulfills the Old Testament prophecy that not a bone of his body would be broken. But just to be safe, they decide to pierce his side with a spear, and out of his side flows water and blood. And once again, the Bible says that's to fulfill an Old Testament prophecy that Jesus, this Messiah, the one who has come to take away the sin of the world, he continues even in his death to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies, proving that he is indeed the Messiah. He's buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Nicodemus, who we see in John chapter 3, he's a Pharisee. He brings the burial preparations for Jesus' body, and it demonstrates his wealth by the amount of things that he brings to that burial in preparation for this. And Jesus is placed in a tomb. And then we get to John chapter 20. He's left in the tomb. But John chapter 20 says that on Sunday, Mary comes to the tomb. It's the first day of the week. She comes to the tomb and sees that the stone is rolled away. And she tells Peter and John, and they go back together, and with John leading the way. And the Bible says there is a handkerchief, the one that was around his head, setting off to the side, and it's folded up. And there is some significance to that. I won't get into that today. But all of that brings us to our text, which I will read it one more time for your hearing. But Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. And, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, and "I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go and find my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. So my focus is this. I've told all of that, and it's Easter. You have to tell the whole story. But my focus is really on Jesus' question, "Who are you looking for?" Understand that Jesus is God in the flesh and that he knows all things. He doesn't really not know who Mary is looking for, but the question isn't because he doesn't know the answer. His question is because she really doesn't know the answer. That Mary is looking for a dead rabbi. She's looking for the body of her teacher. She's looking for the body of Jesus. She doesn't really understand fully that he is the Messiah and that he is God in flesh and that he should not be dead. He has arisen as he said he would. She doesn't know what to expect. She's still looking for this dead rabbi. She's looking for this body to take care of it, to minister to the body. But Jesus asked the question, "Who are you looking for?" At the beginning of John chapter 18, he asked that same question when the soldiers and Judas, they come to where Jesus is. The Bible tells us Jesus knew they were looking for him. He knows they're looking for him. And he steps to the front and he says, he doesn't just say, "Here am I," but he asked the question. He says, "Who are you looking for?" He asked them that question, and they're looking for a timid rabbi. They're looking for someone who may be scared because of their position of power and because they're soldiers, and they're looking for someone who's probably, they're going to have to find him and who's cowering back. But he steps out to the front and says, "Who are you looking for?" And when they tell him that they are looking for Jesus, he responds with, "I am he." And the Bible tells us that something strange happens when he says that. It's not just, he's not just saying, "Well, that's who I am." But he uses a phrase that is only used for God. by the Jewish people, and he says, I am he. And when he does, because of who he is, because he was God in flesh, because he is the master of the universe, when he says that, the Bible says that they are knocked backwards by the power in his words. They are declarations of his deity. He is not a timid rabbi who is scared by their swords. He's not a timid rabbi who's scared by their numbers, but he is Lord over all who would voluntarily lay down his human life so that you and I could have salvation. So who are you looking for today? Are you looking for a timid rabbi? Are you looking for a crucified and dead teacher? I tell you that Jesus is more than that. He's more than just a good teacher. He's more than just a good man. He's more than just someone who died 2,000 years ago. He is much more than that. He is the God of the universe. And wherever you are, can I get an amen? The Bible tells us that he is our advocate. He is all-knowing. He is the all-in-all. He is the Almighty. He is the Alpha. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the Anointed One. He is the author of our salvation. He is the author of our faith. He is the Balm of Gilead. He is the beginning. He is the Bishop of our souls. He is the blessed and only Potentate. He is the blessed hope, the bread of life, the bridegroom. He is the bright and morning star. He is the captain of our souls. He is the changeless one. He is chief among 10,000. He is our comforter. He is our counselor. He is creator. He is the day star. He is our defense, our deliverer, our door of the sheepfold. He is the dwelling place. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is eternal life. He is everlasting Father. He is faithful and true. He is the finisher of the faith. He is the first begotten. He is the first fruits. He is our fortress. He is our foundation. He is the fountain of living water. He is the friend of publicans and sinners. He is the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Whatever you need today, he is all of that and then some. He is everything you need. Who are you looking for today? Do you know who you're looking for today? It's not just a get-out-of-jail-free card, but he is the God of the universe. He is the glory and the lifter of my head. He is the God who avenges me. He is God blessed forever. He is the God who forgives. He is God manifest in the flesh. He is the God of my righteousness, of my salvation, of my strength. He is God with us. He is the good shepherd, the great God, the head of all principality and power. He is the heir of all things. He is our helper, our hiding place, our high priest forever, our high tower. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is the horn of our salvation. He is the I Am. He is the self-existing one. He is the one who is before all things. He is the image of the invisible God. He is our intercessor. He is Jesus. Do you know who you're looking for today? Do you know who you're looking for today? Jesus knows who he is, and he knows that you need him. The question is, do you know who you're looking for today? He is the judge of all. He is the just one, the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the King of glory, the King of heaven. He is the King of kings and the King of peace, the King of righteousness, the King of the saints. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb slain. He's the last Adam. He's the lawgiver. He is life. He is the lifter of mine head. He is the light of the world and the lily of the valley, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is living bread. He is Lord and God. He is Lord and Savior, Lord of the dead and the living. He is, as Revelation said, Lord God Almighty. He is the Lord God Omnipotent. He is the Lord of glory, the Lord of the harvest, the Lord of lords. Do you know who you're looking for today? I've come to tell you about Jesus. I've come to tell you that he is everything that you need. And I could go on, and maybe I will, but he is a man of sorrows. He's our master, our mediator, a merciful Messiah, mighty God, morning star. He is the name above every name. He is the Omega, the omnipotent one. He is the only begotten Son. He is the only wise God. He is our Passover, our peace, our physician. He is the power of God, the preeminent one. He is the of peace, and he is propitiation for our sins. He is the sacrifice for our sins. He is the one that paid the price for you and I. He is a quickening spirit. He is rabbi. He is a ransom for many. He's a redeemer, refiner, refuge in trouble, refuge from the storm. He is our resting place. He is the resurrection and the life. the righteous judge. He is my righteousness. He is the rock that is higher than I. He is the rock of our salvation, the root and the offspring of David. He's the rose of Sharon. He is the sacrifice for sin. He is our salvation, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who are you looking for today? He is everything that you and I need. He is the Savior of the body, the Savior of the world, the scepter of Israel. He is the shadow of the Almighty, the shadow of a great rock. He is our shelter, our shepherd, our shield. He is Son of God and Son of Man. He is everything that you need. Who are you looking for today? He's the strength of my life. He's my strong tower. He's the tabernacle of God. He is our treasure. He is the true bread from heaven, the true light, the true vine. He is the truth. He is our victory. He is everything that you and I need. He is wonderful. He is the Word made flesh. He is worthy of all praise. He is exceeding great reward. He is our excellency. He is the express image of the person of God. He is the yes and amen. He is everything that you need today. Do you know who you're looking for today? And out of all of that list, and there are many other things that the Bible tells us that he is all of that and then some. And ultimately what that means is that he is everything that you need. He is everything that you could want, but let me tell you a few things that he is not. He is not a dead Savior. He's not still in a tomb today. He's not still on a cross today. He is the risen Savior. He is the one who has come out of the grave. He has taken the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and he has overcome that so that you and I could have life today. He's not just a good man. He was that. But he is not just a good man. He's not just a good teacher. He's not a myth. He's not a legend. He's not a fairy tale. He's not just a prophet, as some would say. But he's also not a cuddly teddy bear to keep you just comfortable in the night, and that's all he's good for, is to make you feel good about yourself. He's not just something to get you through this current crisis. And we are in a crisis in our nation and around the world, but he's not just what you need to get you through that. He is more than that. He is God over all. He is the Lord of creation. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Who are you looking for today? He's not a genie in a bottle that you just call upon when you need something, and then he goes back and he gives you your wishes, and that's all he is. In the words of C.S. Lewis, he is not a tame lion. He's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. So who are you looking for today? If you're looking for a Savior, Jesus is that. If you're looking for someone to be Lord of your life, Jesus is that. Jesus is everything that you need. When you call his name, everything that he is comes into play. But you don't have to name all of those things that I just mentioned in that long list that I went through. All you have to do is call the name of Jesus, and all of that comes into play. There is salvation in no other name. There is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. So if you've heard this today, it's my prayer that it wouldn't just be a long list of things. But Jesus went to the cross. He died in your place, and he died in my place, so that you and I could experience life. But his death didn't bring us life. His death took away our sin and cleaned the slate. But it's his resurrection that gives us life. That he didn't just die in our place and stay in the tomb, but he rose again so that you and I could have eternal life. Who are you looking for today? He did it all for you. He did it all for me. So my challenge today is to come to him Maybe you've never come and called upon the name of Jesus for salvation. Maybe you've never committed your life to Him. The Bible tells us to seek Him while He may be found. But I would also say it this way, seek Him that you may be found. That when you seek Him, He finds us in our seeking. That everything that He did it all for us. So how do we apply it to our lives? How do we avail ourselves of that death, that burial, that resurrection of Jesus? The first thing you have to do is you have to believe that He loves you. Hebrews says, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." You got to believe what He did for you. You've got to turn from your sin and turn from your way to His way. You got to tell Him you're sorry for your path and for your sin, for your disobedience. And you can do that right now wherever you're watching today. You can call upon the name of Jesus. You can ask for forgiveness. You can repent and turn from your way and go to His way. That is symbolic of His death, of the death that He experienced on the cross for you and I. But His Word tells us that we need to be baptized, and we need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. That just as Jesus was buried in a tomb, we're buried and we're immersed in water, and we call upon His name, and all of our sins are taken away. And just like Jesus was resurrected on that third day, that you and I can receive that new life and that resurrection power by being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what He wants for you today. If you haven't done that, you can do and start that process today. Call on His name today. If you've already done that, thank Him and celebrate what He has done. Father, we thank You for the sacrifice of Calvary. We thank You, Lord, for what You have done for us. You are more than just a good teacher. You're more than a crucified Messiah, but You are the resurrected one. You are God over all. You are Lord of lords. You are King of kings, and You want to be that in our lives. Lord, I pray that wherever people hear the sound of My voice today, Lord, that they would turn to You, that they would commit their hearts and their lives to You. Father, we want to be in relationship. We're sorry for everything we've done that would hinder and keep us from being in relationship with You. We confess our sin today because we want to take advantage of Your resurrection. We want to experience new life.